The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Hugh, and we're going to get back to Ukraine. There might be a couple of interesting developments, so we'll get back to that in the next segment. Joining us now, though, is my friend Christian Toto of HollywoodandToto.com, at HollywoodandToto on Twitter, author of the book Virtue Bombs. He's also a Daily Wire contributor for film reviews, and you can catch him at DailyWire.com. Christian, welcome back to the show. Great to talk to you today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Now, so the first big question that we have is, where can we go for our Jussie Smollett retrospective? Where do you recommend? How should we start off the whole Jussie Smollett retrospective now that he's going to be doing exclusive appearances in the Cook County Jail for the next 5 months?
Well, you light a candle first, and then you can go into the Wayback Machine and remember the response to his claims a year or two ago. And it was really fascinating because to me, when I first heard about it, your initial instinct is, oh my gosh, that sounds horrible. But then you go, that doesn't smell right. There are so many details about the situation which seem bizarre and unrealistic. And I think most people, especially journalists, should have been really skeptical and curious about his claims. But of course, that didn't happen. And we had to wait a few weeks before even more details that were pretty that were pretty rough on Mr. Smollett emerged before we realized that, hey, this might have been a scam.
Well, do you think that he's going to be up for an Emmy for his performance in court yesterday? The I'm not suicidal and I'm innocent. The big speech, it's sort of like a Few Good Men, only, you know, when... Maybe the Jack Nicholson character? I don't know. You know, I'm not sure how this plays, right? But there's got to be an Emmy performance, at least nomination, out of that, right?
Two things. One is, I can't believe he's still clinging to the "it's all true." That fascinates me on a certain level. I just don't understand whether that's narcissism or that's delusion. I don't know what's going on there. But also, I think his Hollywood future is probably brighter than many people realize. I think he'll be employed quicker than Roseanne Barr.
I think you're right. I think he will be employed quicker than Roseanne Barr. So, yes, we're definitely going to have to stay tuned. He's not gone. He'll be back. But you know what else is going to be back are the Oscars. And I know that you and I just discussed this this week, but the Oscars are coming up here. When are the Oscars going to air? When exactly do they air?
I feel like I should be in therapy for this because I dread this night so much. March 27th is the official Oscar night, so that's when it's coming fairly soon. And I'm very curious what the ratings response will be because they've been collapsing over the years. But like it or not, we will be seeing the Oscars at some point soon.
Well, you'll be seeing the Oscars.
Yes, you won't.
Christian Toto of HollywoodandToto.com is going to watch the Oscars because so that you won't have to and because you're not gonna. But he is going to watch the Oscars. He's going to report back on all the different ways in which the woke, politically correct Oscars will offend practically everybody except the people who are actually in the room at the time. I'm assuming that we're all expecting to have even lower ratings this time around than has been in the past. They have announced actually some changes, right? There's a couple of changes in how many awards are going to be giving out, and there's a change in the hosting duties.
Yeah, instead of no host, instead of one host, we've got three hosts. So I don't know how that changes things up. You've got Regina Hall and Amy Schumer and Wanda Sykes. They don't really draw a crowd at this point in their careers, and that's just the reality. You know, I listened to the one of the main producers behind the show, and every year it's the same song. It'll be different. We've rearranged things. This is a new Oscars. We have to kind of stay relevant with the times. And it's always the same old show. So, you know, there may be a tweak here and there, but until they really change it, until it's really dramatically different and and enjoyable. And, you know, if they put on a really great show, then I'll believe it. Until I see that, I don't believe it. I think it's just rhetoric. So we'll see.
Well, this is the archetypal award show. I mean, there's all sorts of different award shows in the entertainment industry that end up in prime time. Some of them are no longer in prime time, in fact, but the Oscars are probably always going to be because it is the archetypal award show. And the question is, and this is something you and I explored, who are they for? Because they're certainly not for the audience, not for the viewing audience anymore.
Yeah, and you know, and that's technically okay. If you're going to have an industry show where you honor the best of the best, it should be inwardly, you know, viewed, because that's what it's all about. But of course, over the years, the Oscars has been for everyone. It's been a showcase. It's been razzle dazzle. There have been great moments. There's wasn't there a David Niven Streaker moment that I recall?
There was. You know, there was the best line is that some people, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but can't help but show off their shortcomings. I mean, it was a great line that David Niven delivered on that. Yes, there was a Streaker moment. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you really want those moments where who could have seen that coming? Who could have expected that? That's a crazy speech. That's heartfelt. I mean, the Oscar night is really kind of packed with those potentially interesting vignettes, and yet the show itself is just lectures and speeches and boring monologues and a lack of spark and a lack of fire and a lack of appreciation for the audience. I think that's one of the things that really comes to mind, because it doesn't seem they like us. And that's a problem when you're trying to attract as big a crowd as possible. At the end of the day, this is an advertisement for movies. It's a big 3-hour commercial saying, come see our product. We're making it. It's good. We want you to come back to theaters. So there is a real practical purpose here, but I think that they somehow lose vision of that.
Well, I think they do lose vision of that. And, of course, again, the Oscars are coming up on March 27th. Fewer people than ever will probably be watching it. Christian Toto, unfortunately, is stuck as one of the few people who will. But let's talk about what people actually might want to see, which is what's coming up at the box office, either this weekend or coming up soon, that you think people should keep an eye out for.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a quiet time. The Batman just came out.
Right.
So that's a problem, because that's going to flood the deck, and everyone's going to go see that. So the box office release schedule has been lighter than usual of late, which is interesting. And I think a lot of content, especially fresh content, is coming directly to streaming. And the two quick notes is Death in the Nile, which I thought was rather enjoyable, came out a few weeks ago. It didn't make much noise at the theater, but yesterday it was just announced that it will be debuting on both Hulu and HBO Max at the end of this month. So
wow.
If you missed it, you know, don't blink. It's coming directly home very soon. And I think that we've seen that a few times. Even Nightmare Alley, which is up for Best Picture, made a quick jump to Hulu. And more times you're seeing these major releases just going straight to streaming. So, you know, I think it sends a message to potential theatergoers that, hey, hold your horses. It's coming soon. So I don't think that's going to have a great effect in the box office. But also this weekend is a film called The Adam Project, and it's debuting on, I believe it's in theaters and Netflix. And it stars Ryan Reynolds and Mark Ruffalo, Jennifer Garner. So you got some big names there. And it's not a great film, but it's a very sweet film. It's got a real family-friendly connection. And from that reason alone, I recommend it. So again, you don't have to go to theaters. And the biggest stars on the planet are very happy to make these streaming projects, whereas, you know, a few years ago they wouldn't do that. They'd say, I'm a theater person. I gotta see my films in a movie theater. But that's not the case anymore.
Well, and you and I talked about this towards the beginning of the pandemic, and I said this might actually accelerate the move towards home theater being the primary platform for this type of release. And I think we're starting to see at least some acceleration towards that. Now, I think we're getting back into the movie theaters as well. I think does Cyrano open this weekend in the movie theaters, the Peter Dinklage version of Cyrano? Or was that last weekend?
It's quite good, and I think it may have opened last weekend, if not the weekend before. It's a fairly new release. And again, it's an indie film. It's a smaller release, so it may not be everywhere, but it should be in some theaters nationwide right now.
And I, from what I've heard, it's a really good film. I love the source material. It's a musical. Peter Dinklage, of course, one of the stars of Game of Thrones. You'll recognize him immediately. He's been in Elf. He's been in all sorts of different really great films. And I think this is the first film that he carries on his own as the lead. And I actually am looking forward to that. So that's one thing that I'm going to be watching for. Death on the Nile, when it comes to HBO Max, I'm going to catch that. Christian Toto, thank you so much. Don't forget to get his book, Virtue Bombs, and you can find out more about that at HollywoodandToto.com. You can go to his Twitter feed, at HollywoodandToto, to find out what he's working on right now. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Hugh. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com. Joining me now, our friend, my friend, Matt Schlapp, CPAC chairman and co-author of the new book, The Desecrators, Defeating the Cancel Culture Mob and Reclaiming One Nation Under God. Matt Schlapp, great to talk to you again, sir. How you doing?
Ed, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, congratulations on another successful CPAC, by the way, this time in Florida, the last couple of years in Florida. And I'm assuming that we're still going to have a CPAC Texas this year, right?
Absolutely. We've been kind of pushed out of the swamp because Governor Hogan a couple of years ago canceled us, said it would be too unsafe to have a CPAC in Maryland. You know, this was after they accused us of having an international super spreader event when one person got sick with Corona at the very beginning of this virus pandemic. And so we said, no, we're not going to get canceled. We went down to Orlando and we've done it again just a week or so ago. We ended another successful CPAC and we'll do a second CPAC in Dallas, Texas in August. So two a year now, Ed.
All right. Well, see, now I'm going to be at the one in Dallas. I couldn't make it to the one in Florida. So, but I'm living in Texas now, so I have got no excuse. I'll be at the one in Dallas and later on this year. So I'm looking forward to that. And
yeah, part of the great migration out of blue states and into red states. I can't believe it.
I actually am. I mean, I don't necessarily want to just assign all the reasons for that. But let me tell you something. It made it easier, Matt. Made it a lot easier.
And by the way, it's kind of nice to live amongst happy people.
It is actually kind of nice to live amongst happy people, and it's also nice to live amongst people who aren't buried in, you know, 3 feet of ice for 5 months out of the year, which is really, I mean, to be honest, I mean, if I'm being honest, that's really the main motivation of moving south. But I am happy to be in Texas, and I'm happy to be going to CPAC Texas this year, and
great.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what something else that you did in Florida, which is you stood up for the for the Florida's Parental Rights and Education Bill. This is something that's been getting an awful lot of negative and really wildly inaccurate reporting over the last few weeks. You've got, you know, the whole corporate America up in arms about this. I think Disney is the latest one to sign on against this. Tell us a little bit about the Parental Rights and Education Bill in Florida, what it really does, and why conservatives really should be supporting this move by Ron DeSantis.
Well, I'll just say I find it just outrageous and disgusting that Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney's name is being used to push a bunch of stuff on kids at tender ages. People can have differences of opinion on how we handle some of these questions about gender and sexual orientation, but there really shouldn't be a difference of opinion about the primacy of parents in all of
right.
these decisions. And I think that is the thing that really, I live in Virginia where it does snow, Ed. And, you know, what those parents did while their attorney general was calling them domestic terrorists, as they stood bravely with and scared, quite honestly, at those school board meetings and stood up for their kids and said, no, I get to know what's going on in the classroom. I get to know what books are in the library. I get to know what counseling my kids are going through. You don't get to get between me and my kid. And I think the intent of the educrats in Florida is to do the same thing. They're saying some issues are so sensitive that parents aren't professional enough to handle them. And that is outrageous and that needs to stop.
Well, and it's also limited. I mean, we're talking about a bill that is limited to pre through three, right? I mean, this is the main impact of this. I mean, the parental rights, they're establishing parental rights throughout, but the main focus of the restrictions on education that people are complaining about is really just pre through three, right? I mean, that's the main focus of that.
Yeah, and you know, like, once again, I say these tender ages. You know, there's a desire to we write about this in the book, The Desecrators. You know, there's a desire, a strange desire, to sexualize our kids at very, very young ages. We see this on television. You know, if you rent a movie. My kids, as you know, Ed, I have five kids. One is as young as 10. If you rent a quote-unquote family movie, how come all the advertisements during that those family movies are all about kids having sex at young ages, their first time in, you know, eighth grade, their fact that they think they want to be a different gender? It's all this transsexual pushing and everything else. That those are the ads. We literally downloaded Mass the other day to watch Mass as a family. And the believe it or not, when you got this Mass from YouTube, all of the ads were similar. Now, why is that happening? Why is it the family programming and everything else they have to push this? Why in the schools at these tender young ages do they have to push this? It's because they're trying to get inside the minds of our kids at very tender ages, and they don't want us always to know about it. And I think it has to stop.
We were speaking with Matt Schlapp, author of The Desecrators, and, of course, CPAC chairman, one of my friends. And let's talk a little bit about The Desecrators, because I do want to get into this book. This is just out a couple of weeks ago. You co-wrote this with Deal Hudson. And this is about the sort of cultural imperialism, I guess you could say, from academics and the elites onto the rest of America through children, through education, among other things. But also cancel culture, you know, through just through social media, through silencing people. This is something that, unfortunately, you know, conservatives have quite a lot of experience with. And now even some, you know, moderates and liberals are starting to experience this. This is a cultural totalitarianism, isn't it?
Well, it's well said, Ed. And Deal Hudson, my co-author, came up with the title, The Desecrators, because it's worse than cancel culture. Cancel culture is getting politically canceled, being shut out of social media because they say you say something that's out of bounds. Desecration is taking all that's good, all that's holy, all that's true, all that's transcendent, everything that binds us together culturally, and attempts to destroy it. And what's happening in this country is all those institutions, all that good in society is being attacked right now. Part of that is this attack on gender. Part of this is this sexualizing of our kids. We've seen it for too long now about minimizing the tragedy of abortion. And you know, it's one thing to deny an unborn child their rights because they've been able to confuse people on, oh, it's a glob of cells, and, oh, you know, it's not really a child. But now it's people that are outside the womb and, you know, very obviously human, you know, denying them their rights because somehow, you know, they're outside the pale. And what we're increasingly seeing is, I think this line that we crossed when the Attorney General called parents domestic terrorists, I mean, how can we get there? How can it be that if you support Trump or you're a conservative or you're a person of faith, that you can be so easily denied your rights, your constitutional rights? But if you're on the other side of those questions, you're not. You know, this is becoming a very, very stark difference. You know, my wife served the Trump administration, both at the White House and on the campaign. And, you know, these companies that are now coming out against this Florida bill are the same companies that receive lists from activists saying, you can't hire my wife because she's akin to being a domestic terrorist or the enemy within. You know, this is a very dangerous time we're in, and I think too many people are scared to stand up and say no. You know what, Mickey Mouse, you don't get you're a wonderful American icon, but this great company has lost its way. It's not trying to help our kids; it's trying to harm our kids. You know, when they say you shouldn't have voter ID, when they call that racist, when they say that the riots of Black Lives Matter were a good grievance and we should fund them with our corporate dollars. That's beyond the pale. Black Lives Matter wasn't about bringing racial harmony. It was about stoking racial division. And I know I'm speaking to someone who is from Minnesota.
Right.
You know, these things, and even if everyone disagrees with everything I'm saying, I have a right to say it. And the idea that I get throttled back or you get throttled back or anybody else doesn't have their full ability to speak their political views in this country anymore because of these companies, the oligarchs in tech, et cetera, it presents a very dangerous time. And I think we all got to start being a lot louder, and we got to vote this November.
Sounds like you might be breaking up a little bit with Matt, but Matt, I mean, I would put it this way, that there's two main targets that you're talking about in the desecrators, just in, you know, conceptually. One is the church and the other is the Constitution. And we see these attacks on both pretty continuously. I mean, there's, I think it's Elie Mystal was the guy's name, who was going on The View and saying that the Constitution is trash and we should get rid of the Constitution. I think that those are the two main targets. So when you talk about desecration, you're talking about the secular sacred of the Constitution and the faith sacred of the church, of religious life in general. And those are the two targets because those are the two most meaningful institutions in people's lives.
Yeah, and it's the truth, right? In both of those, what runs through it? The God-ordained truth. And what's so beautiful about the Constitution is the fundamental truth in the Constitution is that God gives us everything. He gives us our life, and he gives us these wonderful individual human rights. And we can't let this – it's not a secular society anymore, but we can't let a leftist, hostile, elite-driven part of our society – cancel us, shut us down. And there's more of us than there are of them. Ed, you know this. You're a smart demographer. There are more of us than there are of them.
Yep.
And we have a short window to send the message that this is not how America should be.
And in your book, The Desecrators, because I want to make sure people get the book, The Desecrators. The Desecrators is available. It's been out for a couple of weeks from Matt Schlapp and Deal Hudson. What is the first thing that people have to do? What is the first piece of advice that you give people to put the country back on the right path? You got maybe 30 seconds here.
Number one, if your kids are in a school, they're polluting them with all this propaganda that America is a hateful, racist place. Get them out of that school if you possibly can financially. If you can't, and like people who have come and talked to me, and your kids
I think we're losing Matt again. Matt Schlapp, you can find the book, The Desecrators. The Desecrators is Defeating the Cancel Culture Mob and Reclaiming One Nation Under God. Matt Schlapp and Deal Hudson. I want to thank my friend Matt Schlapp. My apologies that the connection wasn't quite strong enough there, but Matt Schlapp's fine gentleman, friend of mine for several years, and I am looking forward to reading this book, The Desecrators, Matt Schlapp and Deal Hudson. And I'm also looking forward to CPAC Texas. Didn't get a chance to do the national CPAC, but CPAC Texas this summer should be really fun. And if you're inclined to do a CPAC and you're at CPAC Texas, I'll be there. You'll have to come up and see me. Maybe I'll even be around Radio Row. Who knows? I don't know, but we'll find out. Coming up next, Rick Grinnell. We're going to talk about what's going on with Iran and Russia because there's strange things afoot in the Iran deal. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Hugh today. Very busy week. We've got all sorts of different news. We're going to talk a little bit about Iran perhaps in a second. But in the meantime, in fact, we have Rick Grinnell on the line, former ambassador to Germany and former acting director of national intelligence. Rick Grinnell, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I have to ask you about what's going on with this Iran, with these Iran talks, because all of a sudden the EU is calling a halt to them. They're calling for a pause due to external factors. And the EU used to be the ones really pressing the United States to get back into bed with Iran in this JCPOA. What are you hearing about why all of a sudden the EU is getting cold feet on this Iran deal?
Well, let's be honest about the one country that has been negotiating the deal for the Americans and for the Europeans, and that's Russia. The reality is that the Russians have a very good relationship with Iran, so Iran trusts them. When you're in negotiations, you've got to have an interlocutor. You have to have one country or one person that can go back and forth to both sides. And what has been happening during the Iran debate is that the Russians are trusted by the Europeans and by the Iranians. And so the Russians have been going back and forth. Now what we see because of Putin's actions and my first thought is, why did it take so long? But the reality is that the Europeans are now saying, we don't like the interlocutor of the Russians. Now, my second concern is, why in the hell have the Americans decided to allow the Russians to put together this deal?
Right.
And that's very problematic. It's strategically a huge problem diplomatically for the State Department, for Anthony Blinken and Joe Biden to allow the Russians to take the lead. It's so bad that now the Europeans are saying, wait a minute, we don't like this deal. The Americans should have been the first ones to say stop these negotiations, but it's the Europeans that are taking the lead.
Well,
they are the ones who are mostly disgusted.
Right. And, Rick, I mean, Gabriel Noronha, I'm sure you know Gabriel Noronha because he worked at the State Department during the Trump administration, has been trying to send up red flares over this for at least a week, talking about, you know, the people that he knows at the State Department that are feeding him information back on what this deal is going to look like, and saying this is a terrible deal, they're giving away the store, we need to get Congress involved, and didn't get a lot of coverage. And then Mikhail Ulyanov, who's the Russian interlocutor that you're speaking about, was speaking to reporters in English. I mean, there's a great clip of this, saying that he got the Iranians a much better deal than they would have gotten otherwise, and that China was involved in helping them get the best deal they could get out of us.
I saw that video, and here's the thing: that video is a week old.
Yeah,
and the reality is that the Americans have been trusting the Russians and didn't want to, put too much pressure on the Russians, which directly relates to Ukraine. Look, when you're negotiating and you're trying to get some sort of movement from a country, there are several issues on the table. It's not just siloed into one issue like Iran or one issue like Ukraine. When the Americans are talking to the Russians, they're trading on issues. And therein lies the entire problem of the Biden administration when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. We did not apply diplomatic peaceful pressure, like sanctions, like oil sanctions, like energy sanctions on Nord Stream 2. In the very beginning, when Joe Biden was messaging that a bloody war was starting soon, and yet we didn't have the full pressure of sanctions at the very beginning simply because the Russians were leading negotiations on Iran. Now, what does this mean? It means that the Biden administration is more concerned about agreement and consensus than they are the substance of agreement and consensus.
Right.
And that is a huge problem.
Well, this is the same problem that came up in 2015, right? I mean, this is exactly the same problem, is that the deal that Barack Obama reached with Iran, the original JCPOA, was a terrible deal. Iran got all the benefits up front in exchange for maybe some benefits for the United States on a 10-year basis. I mean, we've got maybe 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. At least in the first deal, they could say that they got consensus with the Europeans, which, you know, can
right.
give you a cup of coffee, I think, at some corner store. But the reality is now the Europeans have had enough. Look, what the Senate Democrats and the Biden administration have not come to realize is that the German government has flipped to a MAGA pro-Trump policy. They have embraced 2% completely. They have admitted they made a mistake in decades before us for not paying their 2%, and they flipped on Nord Stream 2 sanctions.
Rick Grinnell, former ambassador to Germany and former acting DNI, thank you so much. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com. Stay tuned for more from the Hugh Hewitt Show.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
And as always, we bring in the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe from TarzanaJoe.com, here to end our week with a little bit of poetry.
Thank you so much. I don't know if it's the aftermath of COVID or just by natural state, but I am very confused, especially this week. On the day the towers tumbled, we were warned because they knew we might blame the whole religion for the actions of a few. Though your anger may be righteous, random vengeance isn't good. So we watered our emotions, for we heard and understood. When a virus came from China, we were warned on all occasions not to blame it on the commies, or more widely, on the Asians. To defending the transgressors, all our institutions hastened, and the bulk of we deplorables were stifled and were chastened. The elites today feel differently. The turnabout's complete. If you're reading Dostoevsky, they will chase you down the street. Rage at all the Russias. That will set the tides a-turning. Somewhere vodka's spilling, and somewhere beets are burning. Russian singers have been canceled. Russian ballerinas banned. The call goes out for punishment and spreads across the land. Russian cats are scratched from cat shows. The banishment's complete. And when we get to Christmas, say goodbye, Nutcracker Sweet. We were told these kinds of actions, the last time that I check, would rally standers-by and have the opposite effect. Even the Ukrainians say Russians are their brothers. And isn't there some lesson about doing unto others? I stand with all Ukrainians. I want them to be free. But much of this reaction isn't making sense to me. That's I'm confused, as always. By Tarzana Joe.
Tarzana Joe. The big question, Tarzana Joe, is are you just regular confused or are you Kamala Harris confused?
Well, I was confused yesterday, and I think today I will be confused, and then tomorrow we will take our confusion and move forward into even greater confusion.
Well, you can find out more from Tarzana Joe at TarzanaJoe.com. If you have a poetry need, you can email him at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. And you can also find him on Twitter at Tarzana Joe. Tarzana Joe, I'm not confused. I love ending the week this way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.